We're continuing in our series right on through Romans. And guess if this is Romans 10, guess what next week is? Ah, there you're right on track. Look at that. Remember again now, Rome is a very metropolitan type of city. It's very progressive. It's prosperous. It's filled with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of philosophies. And he's addressing those that are believers in the Messiah. They are coming from both Jewish background and Gentile background. The Gentiles are pretty scattered in their understanding. Paul is set apart as an apostle to bring the good news of Christ to the Gentiles. But he himself is a very strong religious Jew. He knows the Torah. And Paul's task is to bring the message and to try and unite people into one faith, one God, one belief, to reach the Gentiles, but not at the exclusion of the Jews. And so these few chapters here, 9, 10, and 11, he's writing to the Jews. He's very specific about what he's articulating to them. There are references to Abraham, Jacob, Esau, Moses, Hosea, David, Isaiah, the Christ, the Messiah, the tribe of Benjamin, Elijah. There are Holy Scripture references to Deuteronomy, Malachi, Leviticus, all which the Jews would kind of be fairly familiar with, or at least would have heard something, but very difficult for the Gentiles to grab hold of. Gentiles have not grown up under the law or understanding the law. They missed that. They didn't get the teachings of Moses as they were growing up. These are strong arguments toward the Jews. To accept Christ and to understand the purpose of the law and the law of the Torah and how Christ has fulfilled it. So, can you grab hold maybe just a little bit of the understanding of some of the arguments that we read a little bit later about why the Jews would argue the point, in order for you to become a Christian, you must become a Jew? Do you see the relative sense in that? And why they would make that argument? How can they understand what Jesus has done for them? How can they understand that Jesus is God when they know not this God that we've been honoring and serving for century upon century upon century? I can get that argument. I can get that understanding. Paul stands strong, though, that it's not necessary to convert to Judaism to become a follower of Christ. You can just become a follower of Christ. I do know that you will need some theological understanding and some theological backgrounds or knowledge. So here's your first one, God's Word. God's Word needs to be heard. Paul's saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for the Israelites, for my Jewish brothers and sisters, for them, that they would be saved, that they would know this Messiah, that they would know this Jewish Jesus. For I can testify about them, all my brothers and sisters, all my Jewish friends, they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they do not know the righteousness of God, they sought to establish their own righteousness. The Jewish people are passionate about God. They love their God. They honor him and they serve him. And in many ways, they are very legalistic and restrictive about him. So was Paul. Probably one of the more enthusiastic ones of the bunch. But all the efforts, all the energy, all put towards the wrong end. The tyranny of standing on the wrong ideals. The efforts were put forth to earn the love of God, to earn his favor. And he's saying to earn his favor is not even necessary since you already have it. You already have his favor. You've already been poured out upon. God had given the Jewish people the law, the prophets, the covenants, the temple worship, and even the lineage of Christ. Jesus was a Jew. They missed it. They didn't get the spiritual intent of the plan of God. There were and are still many that are establishing their own righteousness before God. They do not submit, this is verse 3, they do not submit to God's plan of righteousness. You make your own plan of righteousness and think that you're righteous before God. God has a plan for your righteousness. Will you follow God's plan or will you make your own righteousness? They were making their own righteousness. And he's saying Jesus is the culmination and the fulfillment of the law. Jesus brings the righteousness to everyone that believes, to both the Jew and the Gentile. Faith is the essential ingredient, not your zealous attempt to keep the law. This is Paul's stated argument. You can't have a righteousness of your own. You can't have one of your own. You can't earn it. You can't work hard enough for it. It requires faith. It was Paul's prayer and desire that all the Jewish nations would come to know and accept this Jesus. But many are stuck in tradition. They're stuck in their efforts to earn God's love. They're stuck in religious rituals. They're stuck in the judgment seat even of mankind. Far too many have knowledge of the word, but they have no relationship with God. Therefore, they lack the knowledge of the righteousness. They lack the knowledge of the plan of righteousness for God that comes from God. A righteousness not of your own, but a righteousness that comes from God. Many give to charity and then they steal from their neighbor. Many show up to church and then they go home and they lie to their spouses and they lie to their coworkers. The faith of Abraham, the faith that understood the word, practiced the relationship and put that into practice. We must know the word of God or we can become in danger of becoming zealous for the wrong reasons. Zealous for your own righteousness. Zealous for the religious chants. Zealous over things that are temporary. Hugely important that we know the word of God. Hugely important that we know the intent and the plan of God. Here's your next slide. So you can keep the letter of the law and miss its intent. If you don't know the word, you will miss its intent. It's easy enough to slip right back into making everything about your own efforts. Paul knows the scriptures. He's referencing many of them in this passage. He's saying, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're focused on the wrong things. You think you know what it is, but that's not it. You're zealous over that which is not an exercise of faith, but you're zealous over that which is an exercise of works of your own righteousness. You spend so much time and effort in trying to get God to love you, it's already done. Then I love what Moses writes. Moses writes this about righteousness, this verse 5, but that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. You'll have eternal life. If you can keep the law, you'll have eternal life. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Anybody? The whole idea is to point out you're not righteous. You can't achieve righteousness on your own. You need a righteousness that comes from God, and it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and it takes all your faith, not your works. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up. But what does it say? It says the word is near you. It is your mouth and with your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Righteousness is simply having a right relationship with God. Having a right relationship with God. What gives you a right relationship with this holy God? What makes you think you can stand in the presence of an almighty, all-powerful, majestic, sinless God? What makes you think you can do that? Because you look really good? Because you dressed really well today? Because you gave a lot away to charity? Because you have good attendance in Sunday school? Because you kept the law? Not. It's not a what. It's a who. It's not a what. It's a who. And these, he writes a couple of rhetorical questions that kind of bring out the element of justification and righteousness, the work of Christ that has been done. The questions are, who will ascend into heaven, right? Who's going to do that? Who will ascend into heaven? It helps us illustrate the righteousness before God that is based on faith alone. It's not by you reaching up or reaching up to God. I'm reaching up to God. Come down, Lord. Come down, Lord. I'm reaching up to God. Bring the Christ. Bring the Messiah, God. You're reaching up to God. Justification is not reached by your efforts. It is a gift given. And who will descend into the depths? Just as if you're trying to reach up to bring Christ down. Are you trying to reach down to bring Christ up? To bring him out of the dead? Come on, talk to me, Lord. Come. He's already alive. He's not dead anymore. Why are you trying to resurrect that which is already alive? Your efforts are futile. Whether you're reaching up or whether you're reaching down. Because it's not about your efforts. It's about what God has already done. It's about God's efforts to make you righteous. Everything has been done that needs to be done to fulfill the requirement of the law. You can't do anymore. Only receive and believe. Only receive and believe. You can't rise up enough. And you can't descend low enough to defeat death. But praise be to God. Praise be to God. He did the work. He did it. He did it. Paul points out to the Jews that reject Christ, that they're trying to make themselves right with God. How many people do we see that? They're trying to make themselves right with God. Who can do it? Who can keep the law? What makes you think you're holy enough? What makes you think you're good enough? Deuteronomy writes it this way, and he uses this phrase, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of God is within you. The word of God is within you. It's within your heart and within your mouth. The word of God is near you. Jesus is the word. That's what we celebrate every Christmas. Spirit became flesh. Hallelujah. Work with me on this. Now listen, the word is within you. Christ lives in my heart. The kingdom of God is within you. The word of God is within you. You are the word made flesh. You are his voice. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his testimony. You are the word made flesh upon this planet. You should know the word. You are trying to be Christ-like. What does that even mean? The word became flesh. Here's your next slide, by the way. Other books, they're given for your information. The Bible was given for your transformation. I hope you're reading it correctly. I hope you're not gaining a bunch of knowledge about the things that you can do or shouldn't do. But I hope you're gaining an understanding of the love that God has for you. Anybody remember when Jay Leno used to host the Tonight Show? Like after Johnny Carson, then came Jay Leno. Jay Leno used to do this thing he would call Man About the Street or Man on the Street. And he, you know, way before YouTube and TikTok and all that stuff, he'd walk on the street with a little camera and a microphone and he'd ask people questions, right? So he thought one time he'd just ask about some biblical questions. So he approaches some younger people and says, hey, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? Two ladies. Can you name one of the Ten Commandments? She replied, freedom of speech. Okay, good. So Leno goes to another one. Complete the sentence. Let he who is without sin, let he who is without sin have a good time. Okay, good. Found a young man, he was asking, who, according to the Bible, was swallowed or eaten by a whale? Pinocchio. We think it's humorous, but biblical illiteracy is pretty high. It might even be pretty high in this sanctuary. We're trying to be Christ-like, but you don't know what Christ was like. You have an image and you're trying to set up your own righteousness. Learn of God. Learn of His plan. Learn of His way. For it is with your heart that you believe and that you are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and He richly blesses all who would call upon His name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on the one whom they have not even heard of or believed in? How can they believe in the one that they've never heard? How can they hear if someone's not going to preach to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God's word is your next one. God's word needs to be shared. God's word needs to be shared. Can you see that? And it says, who's in the doghouse? And it says, what's the soap? Your testimony needs to be shared. Your testimony needs to be shared. If Jesus, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in your heart, He wants to come out. He wants to show Himself strong. He wants to speak. Your profession of faith will come from your heart. Obedience to the Word shakes the foundation of your very soul. The efforts that you put forth now are not to earn. They store up treasures in heaven. The efforts that you put forth now, they demonstrate a transformed life. Here's your next slide. I threw that one in there. See, it is not, I am obedient so God will love me. It is, God loves me so I am obedient. The works you do now are acts of service. Service to the kingdom, service unto the Lord. Paul is serving in his preaching and in his writing, both the Jews and the Gentiles, in his effort to bring forth the knowledge of Christ, who this Jesus is, the culmination of everything that the Jews have been trying to achieve, a righteousness before God. And God says, I have paved the way for you. And if you love me, Jesus would say, you will keep my command. If you love me, you will keep my command. You ready? This is from last week. You remember what the command was in John 14? Love one another as I have loved you. We talk about some next level love, right? Love one another as I have loved you. Are you trying to be Christ-like? Do you know what Christ was like? The highest calling you can have in your life is to serve. To serve. To become the vehicle of God's grace towards others. To extend the forgiveness that he has given you to others. To extend the grace that he's poured out upon you to others. To give away the kindness to others that he has poured out upon you. If you've received some kind of patience and goodness and gentleness and love from God, give it away. You know it, you've tasted it, you've experienced it. How willingly he gave it to you. Give it away. Because Christ did. Because Christ did. I'll try to get through this. When God's love is evident in your life, the presence of God surrounds you, when his glory falls upon you, when your own sins become very evident in the face of God, your iniquity overwhelming to your soul, your guilt and your shame apparent, when you've been stripped spiritually naked, and the pain and the sadness and the darkness of your own wickedness is displayed, you're convicted of your own unrighteousness, your own sin, you see how far you are from God. You cry out to a Savior. You cry out for mercy. You will repent. Because you realize you are not righteous. You are unrighteous. And the closer you get to God, more unrighteousness you see in yourself. When you get to that place, when you get to that place, and you see God not as a judge hammering the gavel upon your sin and passing judgment upon you, but you see a God that embraces you, that loves you, that will cleanse you, that will make you righteous, not of anything of your own. You'll see the world different. And you will lay out your life. You will lay out your life. And you will want people to know what you know. You'll want them to see with the eyes that you see with now. You'll want the peace that transcends all this world that only God can give. You will ache. You will ache for those that don't know. This is Isaiah. This is Isaiah at the burning altar. Woe unto me! Woe unto me! I am a man of unclean lips. I cannot speak. I cannot share. I cannot. I am not worthy. And God cleanses him. Here I am. Here I am. Send me. Isaiah, here I am. Send me. From unrighteous, God makes righteous. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Paul quotes him. I'm petrified every week to stand here. I know you think I come with confidence. Maybe I speak boldly. I am shaken inside. I don't belong here. I know me. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not clean enough. I'm not smart enough. But I know who is enough. I know who is enough. I place all my trust there, not in me. I place all my effort in him, not in me. You, Lord, do the work. You, Lord, speak through me. God commands us even. Go, tell the nations. Go, tell the nations. Teaching them everything I have commanded of you. And I will be with you until the end of the age. The word of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. He desires this from us. This is his plan. He's adopted us into being a part of his works. He needs us to do our part, to give, to speak, to share the truth, to give our testimonies, to live it. What if I told you this? Here's your next slide. God needs you. What if I told you that? God needs you. Oh, he doesn't need you to be God. He doesn't need you to, you know, do the work of Moses and look for a burning bush. He doesn't need you to fix the world. He includes you. He includes you in his plan. He needs you to build his church. He needs you to send out workers. He needs you to pray for the souls of the lost. See, God works through people. That's been his plan. God works through people. And he's given you himself, the Holy Spirit of God, to mark you as righteous. To say that it is not you that belongs in the pulpit. No one can stand there. But in the righteousness of God, your faith in Jesus, preach it, brother. Speak it, brother. Share your testimony, brother, in the power that is within you, the word that is within you, the kingdom that is within you. I shared this recently, and I know it's worth sharing. Listen, you are not called to make a difference. With all your social media, and going to be an influencer with my million followers, and I'm going to raise, okay. God didn't call you to make a difference. He called you to make disciples. He called you to make disciples. God transforms people. God influences people. God changes lives. God saves souls. We need more of Jesus in our world. We need a better understanding of the love of Christ. You need to do your part. Because God needs you to do your part. He desires for you to do your part. And he knows you're weak. He knows you can't do it. He knows you're unrighteous. But he has a plan. And he's made a way. Fill you, touch you, cleanse you, that you be empowered to do all that he created you for. Are you living your righteous ways, or are you living the existence and the reason God created you? Here's your next one. God's word, it needs to be lived. You need to live it out. God does not need you to be extraordinary. He does not need you to be extraordinary. You already are extraordinary. Do you get it? Do you understand? You are already extraordinary. There's no one else like you on the planet. God has seen to it. No one else like you that can have the relationship with God that you have. No one else. You and you alone have that relationship with God. You are amazing. You are unique. You are special. And God saw to that. Unique to God. You are unique to God. Unique in the world and given very unique opportunities. You have opportunities that this preacher would never have. You'll have opportunities that God will desire for you to have. Who's going to spread the word? If not you, who? If not God within you, who? Listen, do not be anything that you're not. Don't be anything you're not, but you better be everything you are. It's the way in which you conduct yourself, the way in which you love others, the way in which you follow Christ with patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. People talk the talk. Man, they love to fill the pastor's ears with all the knowledge that they have. They love to talk the talk. But I know this. After decades of walking with the Lord, the road narrows when you start to have to walk the walk. People can talk circles around me. Theologians can talk circles around me. But when it comes to walking the walk, the road gets narrow. Which one are you going to be? How are you going to walk? You going to know the word of God and not live it? You going to hear the word of God and not do what it says? Are you going to attend the church but not be the church? Are you just going to take from the church and not give to the church? Are you going to spit on the church and forsake the assembly of the people gathering? You're making up your own righteousness. Not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Plain and simple. Many are not going to accept. Lord, who has believed our message? This is Isaiah. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard from the word about Christ. And so I ask, did they not hear? Did they not hear about the word? Of course they did. Of course they did. Their voices have gone out into all the earth. Their words into the ends of the world. It's coming from the pulpit today, spewing out into your souls. What are you going to do with it? What, did Israel not understand? Did they not understand that they were seeking their own righteousness and God had a plan for their righteousness? That nearly all they needed to do was follow the plan of righteousness for God and have faith in God? Instead, they're busy with their religious chants, following their religious traditions. I will make you envious of those who do not even have a nation. I will make you angry by the people that have no understanding of even who I am. They will come to me, and they don't even seek me. They don't even know me. Those Gentiles that are so lost, I will make the Jews envious and bring them to me. They will follow. They will seek. They will understand that it is by their faith. I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not even ask for me. But concerning Israel, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Who are you? Which one are you? You're missing it. You're missing it. Paul saying once again, hear, but you don't listen. You hear, but you won't do. You're not representing the nations. You're not representing me. Because you became your own. You made up your own ideals. You think you know better than God. I will open up the heavens to those who do not even call upon me. I will show myself to those who do not even have an understanding of who I am. Israel has lost its way. Have you? It's time to rise up, church. It is time to walk in the righteousness that comes from God, not in the righteousness of your own ideals. It's time to repent. Time to return to your first love. Are you missing it? Because it's always been about Him. It's all about Him. Can you receive and can you believe? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Jesus Christ. And everyone who calls upon His name will be saved. I'll call on His name, Jesus. You want to call on His name? Jesus. You want to call on His name? Jesus. Everyone who calls upon His name will be saved. Shout it out. Father, in this place, this day, in our hearts and with our voice, we call upon Your name that we might be saved. Give us the reassurance of who we are in Yeshua, who we are in the Messiah. Give us our identity as Your children, and may we serve You and serve You well. In the name of Your Son, amen. Like we got a song for the offering. Nice. Sir. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for that powerful, powerful message this morning. We needed to hear that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we pray for our tithes and offerings. Our God and Father, Lord, we thank You for this opportunity we have to be in Your house this morning to hear Your word. And Father, as we go out on that road and follow that narrow path, Lord, all those things that are of You, broaden it so that many, many people are walking alongside as we communicate the good news of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Use us, Father, mold us, shape us, give us those things that are of You. And Father, we ask now as we pray for these tithes and offerings, Father, we just pray that You would just use them for the furtherance of Your kingdom. Bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow it is well, it is well. soul.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is well. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal to the world through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God bless you. Go serve your God.